Hey guys, and welcome to the Tourism Marketing Mastery Podcast. My name is Eric Hatterscheidt, and I'm going to be your host. And this is episode number one. So just to let you know, this first episode is a bit of a doozy. It is longer than I thought it would be, but I think the content is good information for you if you're a tourism operator. I kind of go through a little bit of my background, my history, and how I utilize marketing in our own resort in British Columbia, Canada. And how we actually managed to more than double the business within the first 2 years, just utilizing some certain marketing tactics. So if you're interested in learning that, then go ahead and listen to the rest of the episode. As far as just marketing tips, that's really what you find in the following episodes. So you can always jump up there if you're not willing to sit down and listen to this one. But if you are a tourism operator or a resort owner or ranch owner or retreat owner or tour operator, then you might find the content in this one useful. So without further ado, let's jump into it. Hey, my name is Eric Hatterscheidt, and I'm part of a group of independent tourism operators that you've probably never heard of. We deliver experiences that are beyond a photo shoot. When they're not, we actually have to change our guests' lives. But because we don't have unlimited budgets like the big brands, we have to think differently. We have to be clever with our marketing. We need to reach our audiences to make the impact, but we also need to be profitable right from the start. Unfortunately, traditional education is about 20 years behind, and they aren't teaching us what we need to know. So we've decided to take matters into our own hands. We're sharing marketing tactics that work today because we are experienced masters, and what we do matters. Hey there, and welcome to the Tourism Marketing Mastery Show. So, my name is Eric, I'm going to be your host, and you're probably wondering what this show is all about, because this is episode number one, and I'm sure you've got tons of questions. So, let me answer some of those questions for you, hopefully. First of all, if you're brand new to this, you've never listened to any other episodes, which, I mean, that's going to be a lot of you with this being session one, then welcome. This show I'm putting together for other tourism operators. When I say other tourism operators, I'm saying that because I myself am a tourism operator. My family runs a little wilderness resort out in British Columbia, Canada, and we've been running that now for close to 25 years. And part of the reason I'm starting this show is because I took over operations in that resort when I was back when I was 22 or 23. And I ran it on site for a couple of years, and then I'm still running the marketing strategy, running the marketing team for that resort. And I've learned a few things along the way, and I've gone through a lot of struggles along the way as well. And the reason I'm creating this podcast is because I kind of wish that this is what I had when I was trying to figure all this stuff out, especially on the marketing side of things, because I was just absolutely lost. And maybe I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a second. So what that means is if you run any kind of tourism-based business, I mean, resort's a big one. That's what I'm going to be talking a lot from experience from. But if you run any kind of resort, retreat, ranch, if you're running any kind of tour-based business, then I think most of the lessons that we talk about in this show are going to be applicable to you. And a big part of what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to show people in the resort industry a couple of things. One, I think that the whole industry can just in general do a better job of accommodating the guest and creating a really cool guest experience, which honestly just makes it a lot more fun for you, the tourism operator, because when your guests are having a great time and they're happy to pay more for that great time, then that puts you in a good spot. So my prerogative here is to change the perspective on how we can impact guests. Really, I just want to have a bigger impact on guests and guest lives, where they kind of look back on their vacation, and that becomes almost like an appetizer in terms of how they can be interacting at their best for the rest of the year, for the kind of the main course, which is when they go back home, how do they interact with their loved ones, their spouse, their family. I think we can actually do a lot in terms of impacting the reflection points on, you know, what the good times can look like. So that's my prerogative number one, is impact tourism in a really positive way. Impact number two is on the tourism operators. I think Over the years, I've met and I've interacted with and I've gotten to know a number of people in the tourism industry, whether they're running resorts, whether they're owners, whether they're managers. So if you're listening to this and you manage a team at a resort, whether it's the general manager or the marketing manager, I know that there's a lot of stresses involved with that job. And I know that especially if you're the owner, sometimes the owner in a smaller operation, they're doing everything. Like you're the person, you're the same person that's the accountant and the bookkeeper and the operations guy that's out there fixing stuff and then also scrubbing toilets in the end of the day. And I know exactly what that looks like. I lived that life for a number of years before I started to really kind of figure out how to pull myself out of that. So if you're in any one of those situations, basically if you're in a situation where you're kind of running the show yourself, if you're in a situation where you're running a team and you're just looking to be a lot more efficient with that team, get big wins for the business, or if you're a large operation, maybe you run a number of locations, my goal is to make sure that no matter where you're at in that process, I'm giving you kind of creative ideas. I'm constantly innovating. I want to come up with new ideas, and I often will come up with new ideas that I haven't seen used before in the industry, and test them out. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you what doesn't work, and then I'm also going to share with you what does. And some of that perspective is coming from me just operating within tourism. Some of that perspective is coming from other industries, because I've been really fortunate, and I've had the ability to actually run my own marketing consulting company. So for a number of years, I was just operating the resort, and then after that, I managed to free up enough time to start a few other companies and kind of organically stumbled into marketing consulting, just because I had a number of people asking me how I was growing these companies, and that kind of evolved into me sharing some of the information, and that that became what eventually became my full-time kind of focus and work. And so now I've been able to work with, I'd say, well over 1,000 companies in terms of just workshop settings. And I've worked with a little over 300 companies in terms of face-to-face ongoing work. Those 300 companies, that's usually working together with them face-to-face for the period of about a year. So had a number of contracts with different businesses around the world. And I don't claim to be any more intelligent than anybody listening to this podcast. I'd say actually the opposite. I would say that there are a lot of times when I have a lot of dunce moments, and I am not always the smartest cookie in the cookie jar, but I have been fortunate enough to work with a number of businesses and see a lot of what can happen in a business from different perspectives. And so as a result of that, as a result of being able to test probably tens of thousands of different marketing strategies and campaigns and just find out what works and what doesn't, I've managed to be able to kind of rapidly filter through a lot of the BS and let the cream rise to the top in terms of marketing strategies, and then test those in our own business. And often they work and sometimes they don't. So what I want to do is just share with you the valuable information, share from my failures, but then also share, or I should say learn from my failures, and then also just learning from my successes, my wins as well, because I see the way that that we're doing marketing as something that can really positively impact not only the industry but the world in a bigger way, in terms of the way that the guests are interacting with us, what they're getting out of the experiences and what they're taking home. I don't want to hoard this information. I want what I'm doing, which is a little bit unusual, I want that information to get out to the world. And I want other tourism operators to start using it so that we can kind of collectively have this positive impact on the world. Because I don't want us to be the only location that's utilizing this kind of marketing and these kind of experiences. So if you're looking for creative ways to bring bookings in, if you're looking for creative ways to interact with your guests and create an experience that they find unique and they haven't actually experienced anywhere before, and you want like your return bookings to be super positive, I'd say we probably have, you know, I should know the exact numbers off the top of my head, but I'm going to say probably around a 60% return rate in terms of guests now, and that definitely didn't used to be the case. We didn't used to have that kind of return rate and return bookings, but we're getting that now because we're doing things that are, I just don't see anybody else in the industry doing. So if that sounds like something that's appealing to you, then keep listening. If not, that's okay. You don't have to listen to me. You can always tune out. So let's jump into, so for the rest of this podcast, let's look at a couple other questions. I mean, that first question is kind of answered, which is, you know, why am I creating this podcast and are you in the right place? As I said, if you're running teams or you're running your own operation and you're looking for creative ideas for bookings, and you don't, the big part of this too is you don't want to blow the budget. Because what I've found is that, yes, there's a lot of ways that we can put money into marketing, and there's times when it makes sense to do so, and I'll kind of talk about that as we go. But there's so much opportunity in free marketing out there right now where it's just a matter of pushing yourself and saying, hey, how can I be a little bit more clever with this? How can I come up with a slightly more creative idea than what other people are doing? And if you don't know, if you think to yourself, well, I'm not a creative person, then you're especially in the right place, because I'm going to share with you all the ideas that are popping in my head. And my problem is that my own head can't keep up. I got a million ideas a minute. So I just want to share them with you. Sometimes I might share ideas with you that I haven't even tested yet. I'm just like, hey, you know what? I've got this great idea. Go out and try it and let me know how it worked for you. And most of those ideas, the ideas are free and the implementation is free. It's just a matter of seeing, does it, when implemented, does it actually drive additional bookings for you? Or does it make a change in the guest experience? So you're in the right place for that. I don't want to keep going on and on about it. The other question you might have is, who the heck am I? Like, why would you bother listening to me? Like, I mean, some of you guys listening to this, you might think, you know what, who's this young guy that thinks he can tell me what to do? Well, you know what? I'm not here to tell anybody what to do. I'm not here to save your business. I'm just here to try and show you potentially a different way of marketing. And if you don't want to see or watch what I'm doing, then you don't have to. You don't have to at all. But I can tell you that a lot of the stuff that we're doing is working really well for us. I think it's because we're kind of zigging when a lot of people are zagging. We're doing things a little bit differently. And like I said, a lot of it's just stuff that I'm pulling from different industries I haven't been seeing done in tourism. And so if you're looking for that, then keep listening. As far as my background goes, I think it'd be fair to you to just tell you a little bit more about where I've come from, so you understand who you're potentially going to be listening to from here moving forward. So let's get into it. It's story time. Sit down. Stop. You know what? If you are listening to this at home, then why don't you sit down, you pause this right here, and you go, you grab a drink, and get yourself comfortable, because we're going to get into some story time. And then once you've got yourself a drink and you're comfy, maybe a blanket to cozy up if it's cool where you're at right now, or maybe, you know, you just go sit outside in the sun on the porch if it's warm, whatever it is, get relaxed, because we're going to get into a little bit of story time here for the next 15 minutes or so. So go ahead, pause it now. Okay, you back? Great. Okay, so let me tell you a little bit more about my background. So I really don't want to get too deep into this, but to start with, I am a Canadian. I was born in Canada, and my father, he's an engineer, and he worked on consulting projects around the world, but he eventually ended up with a factory down in Portland, Oregon, and him and a partner were running this factory, and they were manufacturing food packaging equipment, of all things, and they were designing, building food packaging equipment. My mother, she was a food scientist. So if you guys haven't made the correlation already, my dad and my mom met because he was called in for a consulting job to do some food packaging. My mom was head of the lab at the factory there. And long story short, they met, they fell in love. And, you know, a few short years later, I was born. And, you know, I was their miracle child. I'm just joking. I wasn't a miracle child. I was just the first child. I've got a couple siblings. I'm the first one in the pecking order. And then I've got a sister and a brother that are a couple years younger than me. So anyway, now I'm really digressing. I'm sorry I took you off on a tangent. Anyway, so my dad was running this factory down in Portland, Oregon. Not only that, he was actually called off on consulting projects, primarily North America, but all over the world, because he was pretty good at what he did, which was teaching factories how to efficiently set up their food packaging systems. So he was gone a lot. When I was little, he was gone, especially just before we kind of made some big life choices. He was gone, I'd say probably like 20 to 25 days out of the month, he was off on consulting projects. And one day he came home to the family, and I was probably around, I'm going to say I was around 8 years old, and he said, "You know what? I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done. I really don't want to like be in any more boardrooms. I don't want to wear a suit and tie. I'm sick of being gone from the family. I'd like to spend more time with you guys." Realistically, I think part of it was he just said, later I learned this, that he said he didn't feel like he actually even really was getting to know his kids, because he was gone all the time. They're growing up and he wasn't a big part of their lives. And the relationship with my mom, I don't think he's ever fully admitted this, but I think it was probably a little bit strained at that time because he was gone all the time. Like, he wasn't there. Despite the fact he was producing for us financially, he wasn't that present. And he was cognizant of that. And so he came back and he said, "Hey, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done consulting. I want to make a life change." And so my mom was obviously asking the question, "Well, what does that mean? What does that look like? What are you thinking? What do you want to do?" And he said, "You know what? I mean, I know this might sound crazy, but I want to sell my shares here in this factory, and I want to look for something completely different. I want to move out of the city. I want to see if there's a piece of land that we can find and just start a new life somewhere." And really what that turned into was, I guess, a little bit of shock on my mom's side initially. And then after that initial shock wore off, I think my mom was kind of like, "Okay, well, let's see what's out there." And so my parents started doing a little bit of shopping, and they started looking around initially kind of in the States, and then they started looking in Canada for property, just because dad had done some work consulting in Canada, and he said, "You know, some beautiful areas up there, why don't we look around?" And in their search for a piece of property, they ended up finding this piece of property that was a small wilderness resort up in British Columbia, Canada. And so it was not their intention to buy a wilderness resort, but they fell in love with this piece of property. They're like, it's a rare jewel. This piece of property, it was placed in the mountains, in the Okanagan in Canada. If you're not familiar with the Okanagan, it's kind of like the vacation destination of Canada, because it gets these really beautiful hot summers. Where we were in the Okanagan, though, it wasn't desert dry like a lot of other places, because we were on the edge of a rainforest. So we got this beautiful hot weather, but it was always green and lush, and it was beautiful. And this property they were looking at, there was a lake in the mountains on this property, and there was a few cabins around the lake and towering mountains around it, and it was just this amazing setting. And despite the fact that my parents had no intention of getting into the business of running a wilderness resort, which they knew nothing about, they said, "Well, you know what? Why don't we just give it a shot? You wanted a change. This is definitely a change. Let's see if it's what the kids would be willing to do." So my parents actually sat us down, and I was 9, my sister was 7, and my brother was 5. And we had a family vote. And I remember going out to a restaurant, and my dad said, "All right, we found this piece of property. It's out in the middle of nowhere. It's up in Canada. It would mean that we'd have to pick up and move. You're going to never see any of your friends here again. But it also means that we would have room to run. You got lots of area to play in. New school, new area. Do you guys want to do this?" And we all sat down and we took a family vote. And it was unanimously decided at that dinner that we all decided, "Yeah, let's do it. Let's give it a try." Even my brother, who was 5, his vote counted. And if we weren't all in, then we weren't going to do it. So family vote was in. We decided, let's do this. Let's buy this piece of property and go and and start running this wilderness resort. Now, I thought that was a great idea at the time because I had no context whatsoever. I didn't realize when we moved out there, when I had just turned 9 when we moved out there, and I didn't realize that there's a lot of work that came with that. I had gone from being this kind of spoiled little suburban brat to all of a sudden pretty rapidly becoming this child slave for my parents, basically. So right away I had to figure out, like, oh man, I gotta all these chores to do all of a sudden, and I gotta learn how to do all these things. I gotta learn how to, like, dig fence posts in and dig up water lines to repair them and feed the animals. Like, in the morning, all of a sudden we had animals. We had goats. I was a little goat boy. I was basically like a little boy version of Heidi, minus the dress. At least most of the time minus the dress. I mean, my parents, I think they're pretty good at keeping me out of the dress-up box. But anyway, so it was an interesting paradigm shift for myself. And what I learned kind of in that experience was that initially I didn't like it. I'm not going to lie to you. Initially I was like, what the hell? Like, I didn't ask for this. I wanted to move out and have fun and play in the woods. I didn't want all the chores that came with it. But pretty quickly I learned that if I didn't do that work, it's not like the work went away. If I decided I didn't want to bring wood in that day or split it, or if I didn't want to feed the animals, well, somebody had to do it. Somebody had to do it. It's not like the work went away. And if somebody else had to do it, then that just shifted the workload unfairly to some other member of the family. And I started to realize, you know what, I've got a part to play here, and I better kind of pick it up and do what needs to be done in order to make sure that not only does this family operate cohesively, but also that the things need to get done in order to make sure that this business runs. And especially in those early years, because the resort, when we bought it off of this couple that was in their late 70s, and they were getting to a point where they just weren't able to keep up with all the maintenance that was done on the property. It was just the two of them trying to run it. At the time, I think we had three, maybe four cabins when we first moved there. So not a lot, but enough that there was still, I mean, there's still maintenance that needs to be done. So we moved in and we decided to take this thing on. Now, what was interesting through this whole process was that as the years went on and as I started to get used to the fact that I had chores and I just became accustomed to it, I also realized that I enjoyed that I had purpose. I enjoyed that I had purpose in the family, that my contributions mattered. And I could see that. I could see that that what I did actually had an impact both on the business as well as the family. And so as I went through, elementary school and then through high school, when it came time to graduate high school, I had to ask myself a question, which we often all ask ourselves when we graduate high school. And that is, well, now what? What do I do with the rest of my life? And I decided, you know what? I've had an impact on this business. I've been able to help my parents out with a lot of the operational stuff. I've spent countless hours, like, mending broken water lines and digging them up, and the roads were all washed out. So, like, probably hundreds of truckloads of sand were shoveled and piled in there. I don't know how many cords of firewood were split, hundreds, if not thousands. And I just thought, you know I've contributed in this way, but really over the years, we've kind of just managed to keep our heads above water. My parents spent a good chunk of their savings just purchasing this property, and now we were just trying to keep afloat. We weren't making any kind of major profit at the end of the year. It was basically just enough to keep our heads above water. And I thought, I don't think that my contributions in terms of just chopping wood or cleaning toilets is going to be enough to really make a big impact on this business. What could I do? What could I do to contribute to this family that would allow us to kind of to move up a step, to not be in a situation where it was just another day basically doing chores? Is there some other opportunity that we've got here? And I thought, well, you know, we've got this amazing business and I know we've got some room for growth. What would it look like if I learned how to bring more guests into this business? What what would happen if we were able to increase the guest numbers? And I thought, well, we can totally do that, and that would allow us to bring in extra revenue in. Maybe we could even, with that extra revenue, maybe we could hire a person or two to help us out, take some workload off my parents. Like, that would be pretty awesome. So why don't I give that a crack? Why don't I learn how to bring more people into this resort? How to get more bookings, how to get more guests interested. And so, as you might think, I decided I should probably study marketing. And I thought at the time, well, you know what? Everyone's telling me now I've graduated high school. If I want to pursue any other education, then I need to go to university and learn it there. So I applied to a bunch of different universities, to a number of different business programs with the intent of studying marketing. And I ended up getting into UBC, University of British Columbia. And University of British Columbia was, it was ranked as a top educational institution. It's apparently, according to them, they're ranked as one of the best in the world. So I thought, well, this is awesome. This is a great opportunity for education. So I went there and I studied marketing, business and marketing, for 4 years. And I graduated with a degree in marketing. And at the end of that 4 years, I held my degree up triumphantly. And I was just like, yes, I got it. And now I'm officially a marketing guru. I'm prepared to become a marketing legend because I know everything there is to know about marketing. Bow forth in front of me, you non-marketing peasants. No, that's not what I thought. But but I did think that I was some kind of hot shit because I had a degree in marketing. And once I got that degree, I got back in touch with my mom. Not that I hadn't spoken to her in all those years, but I had a serious discussion around the topic of marketing and what it would look like in our business. And I said, hey, Mom, I graduated this marketing degree. I want to come back and I want to see if I can help you guys boost this this resort up and bring more bookings in the door. So I'm just curious, like, if I come back and I'm your marketing guy, you know, what is it roughly that you might be able to pay me as a salary? And my mom's like, are you joking? We can't pay you a salary. Are you serious right now? Like, we do you see us hiring anybody else? The answer is no. So step back a sec. My parents, they hadn't really posted much of a difference in massive profits from the time that I'd started university to when I graduated. They were making a little bit of money each year, but it was nothing like that was major revenue. So my mom said, listen, we're not going to pay you anything as a given salary for marketing. However, if you think that you're such a marketing guru, then here's the deal that we can make. You can come back to the resort and you can drive additional bookings. And from those additional bookings that you drive, because you're so good, you can take a salary out of that additional revenue that comes in. And I was like, well, done. No problem. I am the world's greatest marketer now, so that should not be an issue. So me being the arrogant kid I was, I moved back to the resort. My parents gave me my own little cabin out there. And within a couple of days of moving back, I brought all my marketing textbooks and notes and everything with me in a box, because I was determined to make a marketing plan and a blueprint, put it together, and then just blow this place up. Not literally, of course, figuratively, by bringing bookings in. Guys, don't be weird. So I decided to sit down and put this plan together. I sat down at my parents' kitchen table a couple days after I moved in, and I had this box of books next to me. And I pulled out that first textbook out of the box, and I put it on the table in front of me, and I cracked it open. I started flipping through it, looking for ideas. And, as I was going through it, I just kind of realized, you know what, this book is all, it all revolves around how to manage marketing teams. And the reality is right now I am the marketing team. So unless I'm not able to manage myself, let's put this book to the side. And I shoved it to the side of the table. And then I took the next whoops, my voice cracked because apparently I'm going through puberty at 30-something. So anyway, took the next textbook out of the box, put it on the table in front of me, and I'm starting to flip through it. And as I'm flipping through it, I'm like, okay, maybe there's some good stuff in here. And I'm going through it. And this textbook is all about e-commerce. It's all about how to sell products online. And I thought, you know what? We're not selling products online and sourcing them from China and all that stuff. So not super relevant to this wilderness resort. So I took that book and I put it to the side. Take the next textbook out of the box. This textbook, I'm like, this has got to have the answers. This is the golden textbook because it was small business marketing. And I'm like, well, if this isn't a small business, I don't know what is. And I start going through this small business marketing textbook because I'm looking for ideas to put in front of me on a blank sheet of paper so that I can actually start this marketing plan. And as I'm going through this small business marketing textbook, I'm flipping through page after page, and I start to realize that this whole textbook really revolves around how to go and borrow large sums of money from either people like venture capitalists or angel investors or the bank, and then take those large sums of money and put them into marketing campaigns that are kind of risky and they really don't promise any return whatsoever, but you still got to pay these people back. And I'm like, you know what? That seems like a really risky scenario, especially when, you know, we don't really have a budget to work with, and I'd be scared to go and borrow money from these people because I don't know that we're going to get a for sure return on this investment. And what happens if we don't? I'm not willing to take that risk. And so I took that small business marketing textbook, and I put it to the side. And I start going through textbook after textbook after textbook in this box and all my notes, and I just shove them to the side because I'm like, I just don't see how this applies. And there comes a point where I look in the box and the box is empty. There's not a book left. There's not a notebook in there left. And I'm looking at this blank page in front of me that's supposed to have a marketing plan on it, and there's nothing. And I'm like, shit. Like, I just spent 4 years learning how to market, and now when I've actually got to do it, when I got to sit down and make it happen, I don't have a clue what I'm doing. And what I realized in that moment was that everything I'd learned in university was how to market for a corporation. And now that I was in the position of having to market for this business, I couldn't see anything that I could really envision working for us. And I was like, well, this sucks. Like, now what? What do I do now? So I did what I'm sure a few of us have done, which is I was like, well, screw it. If I didn't get the answers in university, maybe this other resource has the answers. This other resource I heard of that some of you guys might have heard of, which is Google. So after 4 years of university, boom, this is what it comes down to. I am searching Google for how to market this business. So great job, university. You gave me great education because you taught me how to Google things. So I sat down on Google and I don't know what to type in. So I just type in the first thing that comes to my head, which is, how do I market a small business? Because what else am I going to type in? Like, how to market a wilderness resort? Actually, I did type that in and nothing came up, unsurprisingly. So I typed in, how do I market a small business? And all of a sudden, these top 10 lists and top 25 lists kind of start popping up. And they're saying things like, oh, well, if you want to market a small business, here's what you got to do. First, go and work on your elevator pitch. I'm like, my elevator pitch? Are you serious, guys? Like, the closest elevator has got to be 100 kilometers away. I don't see how this is going to help me. And they're like, okay, well, if you don't know, like, after you work on your elevator pitch, maybe you need to start going to networking events. And I was like, networking events? Are you guys freaking serious? Unless I'm sitting here talking to the squirrels, I don't have a lot of opportunity for networking in the environment I'm in. I don't see how that's going to apply. And then the next thing on the list is like, oh, well, you should go and flyer the neighborhood. I'm like, flyer the neighborhood? I've got one neighbor. He's like 5 kilometers down the road, and I'm pretty sure he doesn't want to come stay with me. You know what I mean? So I'm not seeing how this is applying to this business. And I'm going through these lists and I'm like, are these guys serious? And I'm pretty sure as well that these lists are just being copied and pasted from each other. I'm pretty sure there's just an intern at each one of these companies that's just copying other interns. And I don't know that any of them really have a strong idea of what's actually going on out there. And so I kind of just came to the conclusion, well, shit, you know what? Maybe I've just got a business that I can't market. Maybe a wilderness resort is just not a marketable business, not at least in the traditional sense. So I did what my parents had really been doing over the years, which is, you know what, maybe if we just focus on making this business a better business, more people will talk about it and more people will come. And so that's what I decided to do. I was like, well, You know, I can try a few marketing things here and there, but I'm not so sure that that any of them are going to work. So in the meantime, let's just work on the business. And so we just focused on doing renovations of the cabins, making sure that we had all the amenities in place for our guests, and just focused on kind of upgrading things. And I tried a few marketing things that I stumbled across. Like, I'm like, all right, well, you know what? Why don't I just do what some people are saying? Maybe if I just post some stuff on social media, maybe that'll drive business in the door. So I put some posts out there, and I got some likes and I got some comments, but I didn't get any bookings necessarily from those. I didn't see any more money in the bank as a result of those posts, that's for sure. And then I was like, okay, well, you know, there's a couple magazines that are asking me, like there's local accommodation guides and stuff. Maybe I'll just put some ads in those. And I did that. Didn't get any calls from that. I was like, you know what? What if we just go? Maybe if we go to like some of the local cities and we'll rent a booth at the mall. We'll rent a booth at the mall and we'll hand out flyers. And that's what we did. We rented a booth in the mall, and we just handed out flyers for the resort, like thousands and thousands of flyers. You know how many bookings we got from that? None, not one. Oh, what it like? Just such a lot of effort, such a lot of time. And my dad is like, Eric, you got to stop marketing this place because you're going to bankrupt us. And that's embarrassing. I mean, how embarrassing is that, that I'm supposed to know what I'm doing as a marketer, and all I'm doing is blowing money and we're not seeing any bookings coming in from it? And I literally think, I mean, it would have been easier to take that money and just set it on fire rather than what we were doing with it, because I was putting all kinds of effort into this marketing and it was failing, like failing miserably. And so after a while, to be honest, I just kind of gave up. I was like, you know, all this marketing, I mean, there's no way that it can work for this business. And I was working with my parents for, I'd say, about 8 months. I mean, I'd seen them work over the years. I'd seen what they'd been doing and I'd seen what we were doing at the resort. We'd had the resort for probably around 8 years at this point. And for 8 months, I just spent time working with my parents on the business, on the operational side. Like, hey, let's just make it nicer and people will come. It's the whole like build it and they will come kind of attitude. And so that's what we were working on. Now, I know a lot of people out there will say, you know what, it takes years to build up a business, and it takes years to build up a reputation and get to a point where you're profitable. But I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I didn't want to spend years working on a business. And this really came to, I don't know, it really became apparent in my life when, after about 8 months of working in this business, there was a day where just everything just kind of fell apart. And I don't know if you guys have ever had days like this, but man, this was a day where just every single thing seemed to go wrong. And sparing you the details, like, I had the truck break down on me. And as a result of that, I was up in the mountains getting firewood with it. Had the truck break down, had to walk back, had the quad break down on me that day, had the cabins. It was spring and the cabins had issues because we had just gone through winter and pipes were cracked. And like, I was under the cabins in the mud trying to fix these friggin' broken pipes, and everything was just a mess. And then after that, like after all those things happening, at the end of the day, I was like, shit, I still got admin stuff to do because tax season was coming up. We had to have the books taken care of. I couldn't hire a bookkeeper to do it, of course. So I was looking at the books, and I was realizing as I was looking at those books, like, there is no way on God's green earth that I'm going to make any salary this year. Like, not a chance. We are barely breaking even. And then, to be honest, I'd say a few of these credit cards are maxed out a little further than I'd like them to be. Not only that, but we just had a ton of stuff break down today, and I don't know what the bill's going to be for that, but it's not going to be cheap. And as I'm going through all the bookkeeping stuff, I'm working on it. It's getting later and later into the evening, and then I look over the clock on the wall, and it's already 11:30 p.m., and I'm like, man, I've just been going all day. I haven't even made dinner. I'm exhausted. I don't have the energy to do it. Forget about it. I'm just going to try and just relax a little bit. and we'll do it again tomorrow. So I don't know about you guys, but my version of like, hey, I'm going to take a breather at the end of the day was I'm just going to grab a beer out of the fridge, sit back, try and enjoy it, and then go to bed. And so I walked over to my fridge, opened the door, pulled out a beer, walked over to my one little coffee table and my one chair in my living room, and I sat down on that chair and I put that beer in front of me, and I just stared at it. I was just staring at it. I'm like, everything is overwhelming. Everything, like, I am so stuck, and I feel like my back is up against the wall, and I don't know what to do. And to be honest, I felt like a complete failure. And I had friends asking me, like, hey man, how's the marketing thing going out at the resort? And on the outside, I'm trying to be positive. I'm like, oh yeah, it's good. I mean, things are, I'm sure they're about to pick up. Like, it's going to be good. On the inside, I was like, oh, I am just worn out. And some of you guys are going to be like, are you kidding me, man? I've been doing this for years. Well, I'll tell you, after 8 months, I was worn out. And it's because I had no idea where to go. I had no direction. I had no clue what I was doing. And everything it seemed like I was trying just was not getting the results that I was looking for. And I was also kind of just, I was overwhelmed with the business because, I mean, you guys are in tourism. You know, like, if you're listening to this, you know, there's holidays and there's weekends and there's the times that everyone else wants to go out and have fun, and your friends are calling you and they're like, hey, you know what, come out. We've rented like a houseboat, or we're going out to the mountains this weekend, or we're going out for a hike, or we're going to go sail. And I'm like, those sound like amazing things, and I can't go because I got to be here at the resort. That's the time that everyone's coming to us. It's go time for us. I can't leave. And I was already becoming a slave to this business. And I'm sitting there and I'm staring at this beer, and these thoughts are running through my head. And as I'm staring at this beer, the situation just emotionally starts to overwhelm me. And I just started to cry. I was just like, I can't do this. If this is what it means to run a business, like, screw this, I'm out. I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what to do. I feel like a complete and utter failure, a complete loser. I'm not getting results anywhere, and I'm trying so hard, and I must be the world's biggest idiot because I cannot figure this out. And I'm supposed to have a degree in marketing. Are you kidding me? Like, I'm supposed to know this stuff better than most people, and I have not got a clue. And this sucks. It's not fun. Like, I'm working myself raw, and I'm doing it for free. And I don't know where to go from here. Like, I don't want to leave my parents here because that just makes me feel, like, even worse. And, I mean, I'm not really that keen to go and, like, go get a job in the city somewhere and sit behind a desk and that's all I do. Like, that's not the way I like to operate. But at the same time, like, I'm tied to this. Like, I'm emotionally invested in this place. But it's dragging me down. And I'm sitting there and I'm so stuck. And I think, really, that's almost a blessing in disguise, because what I've learned since then is that sometimes it's those moments of desperation where, if you're in it, it takes that level of stress to actually have you come up with an idea that you might not have come up with before. And in that moment for me, as I was sitting there and I'm thinking, like, what do I do? What do I do? And that what do I do started turning into, well, rather than me trying to figure out how to get myself out of the scenario on my own, who is it that I know that could help me? And that's a very powerful question. Like, if you haven't asked yourself that question, that's a big one. Not how do I figure this out, but who knows how to get myself out of this scenario? And I started asking myself that question, and that's really when I had my first big epiphany, which was, wait a minute. Everything I've learned in business, everything I've learned in marketing up until this point, I have learned from a professor in a university that has never run a business. And I'm like, are you kidding me, Eric? You have been the biggest freaking moron. You went to school for 4 years and you learned from people that have never done what you wanted to do. Maybe you need to pivot directions. Maybe you need to figure out this business game from people that are actually doing it. Because if you've never had a teacher that actually did what you're trying to do, then how do you have any hope in hell of trying to figure this out? Because everything they were teaching was theory and it was all for a corporate environment. And so in that moment, in that realization, that epiphany moment, I thought, you know what? I got a new idea. Why don't I find business owners that are successful, that are running businesses right now, and I ask them what I need to do next? Like, if they were in my shoes, what would they do? And so I sat down, I got up from my couch first. I left my beer in front of the couch, dried my tears off, went over to my laptop, and I just started doing some research on the laptop, looking for successful business owners that I had heard of over the years, guys that were running businesses that I heard of, like, in the cities around the area that I lived. And I just started compiling a list of, like, who were these owners, what were their names, what were the email addresses that I had for the businesses, what was the contact information, what were the phone numbers, and I started putting a list together. And that night, I put together a list of 50 business owners that I wanted to talk to that I thought might have some idea of what my next move should be. And I just wrote a very simple email, and that email, I'm going to paraphrase here because this was a number of years ago now, but it basically went something like, you know what? I don't think I started with that, you know what? I think I started with, hey, I just started trying to take over my family business. It's barely making it, and I'm struggling. I'm not making any moves forward. I'm really trying. I'm doing everything I can. I feel like I'm moving every day. I'm trying to move forward, but it feels like I'm just hitting a wall. I would love just 2 minutes of your time to just let me know, if you're in my shoes, what's your next step? And I will do it. Whatever you say that I should do, I will go and I will do it. And I sent that email out to 50 business owners. And I was stoked because I thought, you know what? These guys, they got to have the answers. If they're building successful businesses, they got to know what's going on. And after I sent that email out to 50 business owners, I came back the next day, and you know how many replies I got? Zero. I got zero replies. And I was like, damn it. Oh man, not a single one of them got back to me. Like, I was so dejected. But I thought, well, I got nothing else. I have no other options. So I'm just going to stick on this train. So I emailed them again and said, hey, you know, I emailed you yesterday. I don't know whether you got my email or not, but this was the question I was asking, and I emailed them all again. And I waited a day, and you know how many responses I got back? Zero. And I was like, well, I still don't know what else to do, so I'm going to stick on this train. And so I emailed them again, third time. And same email went out. I just said, hey, you know, I sent a couple emails before this. Just, you know, if you could give me 2 minutes of your time, I'd really appreciate it. I'll do whatever you say to do. I need help, and I don't know who to turn to. I sent that email out, and the next day, you know how many replies I got? One. I got one reply, and I was like, I was through the roof. I was on top of the world. And I opened that email, and it was an email from this guy's secretary and or personal assistant. I forget if we're getting politically correct today. And she said, hey, you know, the boss, I'm not going to give names away here, but the boss said, if he gives you 2 minutes of his time, will you stop emailing us? And I was like, yes, yes. I wrote back right away and I said, absolutely. I said, I don't mean to like bug you, even though I absolutely did, but I said, I don't want to disturb you. I just need to know what my next step is and I don't know who to ask. So yes, if I have 2 minutes, I will stop emailing you guys. And so I managed to get on the phone with this guy, and I had practiced exactly telling him what scenario I was in, and I had got that down to 10 seconds, because if I had 2 minutes, I wanted as much of that time going to be like him talking as possible. So in 10 seconds, I let him know, hey, I've taken over my family business, and we're trying to get bookings up. I've tried a million things, but we're still struggling. I don't know what to do. What would you do next? And he said, well, you know, it sounds to me like you need to work on your marketing. And I was like, oh my God, are you serious? I said, hey, listen, I don't want to be rude, but I went to university. I got a degree in marketing, and it just isn't working. And he's like, it's not working. Well, what are you doing? And so I told him a couple of the things I'd tried, and he said, why would you do that? Why would you spend money on those things? And I said, well, that's what I learned in university. I mean, that's what I learned to do, go spend money on signs and flyers and like get out in the community. And he's like, no, that is not how you market a business if you want to actually make money. You got to measure your marketing costs. You got to know where your money's going. You can't just throw money to the wind. And I was like, well, what do you mean? He said, listen, kid, you got to learn direct response marketing. And I was like, well, what's that? He's like, I don't have time to explain it all to you. Look it up. Go Google it. And so I was like, all right, thanks. So I got off that call and I Googled direct response marketing. I'd never heard of direct response marketing going to university. And I found out that direct response marketing, it's a form of marketing where you basically can, you can put a marketing out there and there's a direct way to measure where every marketing dollar is going. And I thought, well, that's interesting. All right, well, I better start looking at, you know, actually figuring out where my marketing dollars are going to see what kind of return on investment I get so I know what's working and I know what isn't. And then I continued to email these other 49 business owners. And over the next few weeks, these responses started to trickle in that were all very similar to the first one, which was like, hey, listen, you know what? If we get on the phone with you for a few minutes, will you just stop emailing? Because I found this to be a very effective response. Just keep emailing until they just say, hey, listen, I will talk to you if you stop bugging me. So I got on the phone with business owner after business owner, sometimes managers, and I just asked them, hey, what are you doing that's working for you? And what was really interesting as a pattern that emerged in those conversations was they all said, you need to focus on marketing. You need to focus on marketing and selling this business first thing. None of them talked about management or operations or any of that stuff. They all said, you need to understand how to market this thing. And they started using terms that I'd never learned in university. And my eyes were open to the fact that there was a whole world of marketing that I didn't even know existed, that had nothing to do with what I'd learned in school. And I was like, well, where are you guys learning this stuff? Where are you picking this up? And so I started getting directed to different books, different seminars, and a number of courses. And I mean, these courses, I wish I could say that they were cheap courses, but they weren't. These courses were like thousands of dollars, some of them tens of thousands of dollars. And I kept, for a while, I kept hearing this kind of, this course come up again and again, where these guys were like, well, you know, you should go take this course. Unfortunately, this course doesn't exist anymore. I wish it did, but it doesn't. And that course at the time was a course that was focused more on just how to market an online business. But they said a lot of those principles are principles that you can apply to your business. And so I started learning this whole world of direct response marketing and copywriting and marketing, using modern marketing systems to measure return. And also, I mean, a huge part of this was, how do I build campaigns that will bring me in bookings, but they won't cost money? And then how do I take those things that are working and how do I build them into systems that I can automate, that I can put on basically autoplay and just have them keep working for me again and again and again? And I started applying some of this stuff. And what was really interesting was initially, as I started putting it together, I kind of like held back because I thought, you know what, if I apply this, I don't know if anybody else is doing this. Seems a little bit out there and it doesn't look like what other people are doing. What if it has the negative effect? What if it doesn't work for this business? Or what if we get perceived a certain way that doesn't work for us? And so I started kind of implementing small bits, but I didn't really fully commit to it. I held a lot of stuff back. And the longer I held stuff back, the more I got in debt, because now I was starting to pay for courses that I probably couldn't fully afford at the time, but I didn't know what else to do. And it wasn't that the courses were good. The material was good. I just hesitated on actually implementing it. And that was probably, looking back, that was a bit of a mistake. I should have just jumped in. I should have trusted the system, but I didn't know at the time. I didn't know. I was just like, okay, I'm going to try and dabble with this and see what works. And after doing that for a bit, I wasn't seeing anything major. And I got on the call with one of these guys that was teaching a course. And I'm like, you know what? I just don't know if this is for me. I don't know if it works. And he's like, well, what have you actually implemented? And I told him all the stuff I'd put together. And he's like, okay, great. Well, where are the results? And I was like, well, I put it together, but I didn't actually publish it. I didn't actually put it out to the world. I didn't actually, you know, actually put it out online. And he's like, well, Eric, you're not going to get any results if you don't actually put it out there. So he said, I can promise you, if you put this stuff out there, you're going to get results. And I was like, all right, well, if you promise, then I'll give it a go. So I started actually publishing some of this stuff. And I remember that first phone call that I got only a few days really after I started publishing and putting out there some of the new material that I was putting out there. And it was this lady that called in and she said, hey, your place looks amazing. It looks incredible. I've been looking for a resort like this for probably 20 years. Where have you guys been? And I thought to myself, are you kidding me? Like, we've been here for, I mean, the resort been around for 20 years. But apparently, I guess we just had never stood out to her before. And she said, I want to book a week with you guys. And for me, I was like, a week? Like, that's awesome. That was a good chunk of time for us. We weren't really booking a week before that. So I thought, well, a week's awesome. Let's do that. Let's put that together. And then I thought, well, maybe it's a fluke. And then a couple days after that, another lady phoned and was like, this just looks like the most amazing place. I want to book a week with you. And I was like, what? This is incredible. So I booked that other week. And the calls started to come in. And it got to a point where the phone was ringing to the point where you couldn't even walk away from it. That phone, it was ringing all day. Like every 2 minutes, there was a phone call coming in for people wanting to book the place. And what was even more incredible was that the people that were wanting to book in as a result of the marketing that we were doing, the caliber of the guest, it just got better and better. Like in the beginning, honestly, we were pricing ourselves kind of bottom to mid-range to bottom end of the market. And with the new marketing that I was learning, this new form of marketing that I hadn't learned in school, and just testing a lot of this stuff and putting it together and trying to make it work for this resort, we started getting better and better and better guests. And we started being able to price ourselves higher and higher and higher. And what that's led to for us is that's led to a point where now, today, we are probably, I would say, about double. We're about twice as much as the next comparable kind of resort in the market. And that is a direct result of the marketing that we've been doing. Because when you've got great marketing, when you've got the ability to really understand how to drive bookings, what does that do? Well, it drives demand through the roof. And when demand goes up, that means you have to actually turn a number of people away. And when you turn people away and the demand is high, guess what you can do? You can raise your prices. Because there's always going to be a segment of the market that's willing to pay that upper end price. And you keep raising prices and you keep raising prices. And every year you raise your price. And if every year you're raising your price anywhere between, for us, it was anywhere between 5% to some years 20%. And if that's compounding, it doesn't take very long at all to get to a point where you're double the price in the market of what everyone else is charging. And you know what's awesome when you're double the price of what everyone else is charging? You are able to see an actual profit margin on your business. It also allows you to start looking at, hey, we've got money here. We could probably hire some people. We could hire some people to take care of some of these jobs for us that are jobs that we were doing every day. And it starts opening up opportunities. The other thing it does is if you're doing your marketing properly, you can actually start to attract the market that is your ideal market. For us, our ideal market, at least in my opinion, my ideal market was, hey, if we can get people in here that are like upper class, like upper middle to upper class, and we can start bringing people in from other countries, like let's see if we get millionaires in from Europe. Well, that's definitely not where we started. But what I can tell you guys is that about a year after we started actually putting this marketing in place, learning new ways of implementing marketing that we hadn't before, we started getting those first few bookings from millionaires in Europe where I was like, this is working. Like, this is really kind of taking off. And the other big thing that I learned like out of this whole thing was oftentimes you can sell something before it even exists. And some of you guys might fight me on that and be like, well, that's not ethical. Yeah, it is. As long as you're just being truthful with the guests that are about to book in and say, hey, we're planning on putting this system in. We're planning on putting this service together, or we're planning on putting these new things in the cabins. They'll be here when you come in. Would you be willing to pay extra for that? As long as they know what's going on, you can absolutely sell things before they exist. So that allowed us to actually start selling. That allowed us to start selling upgrades in our cabins before those upgrades even existed. And that meant that we were actually able to take increased deposits, and those increased deposits allowed us to actually pay for those upgrades so that they would exist. And that was a huge part of what I learned out of direct response marketing, was how to actually make that happen, which was a game changer for us. It was awesome. That allowed us to raise our rates dramatically for some of the cabins because of some of the things that we were able to implement, with the guests paying for them before they were actually in the cabin. So that was pretty incredible for us. Now, what was really cool and what I've learned over the years in terms of marketing this business is that every year that we market, we get better at our marketing because we're always looking to test and measure our marketing, and we're always looking to try and beat kind of the previous best version of what we've got. So that means we're only improving. And what that's also meant in reality is that, fortunately, it's humbled me a bit, because I got into this business as a bit of an arrogant kid thinking I knew it all, and I was very rapidly humbled by the fact that I fell flat on my face and I realized I had no idea what I was doing. And it was really only due to other business owners giving me a bit of time, helping me out, and also my own drive to figure this stuff out, that allowed me to succeed. So I think it's both those things. I think it's go out there, find the information. In my opinion, pay for it. Pay for the information. I've spent now, I'm not exaggerating when I'm saying I've spent probably hundreds of thousands of dollars on education strictly for marketing, just learning how to market better. And the reason that I'm okay with spending that kind of money is because if you're learning from people that have done it, it's an investment. Typically, if you're spending the money and you're implementing what they're teaching you how to do, it's usually a 5 to 10 time return on your investment. And I can tell you guys right now, if I gave you a dollar, or sorry, if I told you, you give me a dollar and I give you 5 back, I mean, that's a no-brainer. So it was myself investing time and energy into this, but it was also a number of business owners and coaches and consultants along the way that shared information with me that was invaluable, and then actually going and implementing it. And what that's taught me is that I still know very little. I still feel like I'm just trying to figure this out, and I've been working at it for about a decade now. And I still feel like I'm learning new things every day. I'm constantly looking at, okay, what's the next piece of audio that I can consume and learn from and implement? What's the next marketing book that I can learn? What's the next psychology book that I can learn? And you start looking for areas in other markets. I'm reading books from Disney right now on the guest experience and how they implement things, because I know that there are decades of wisdom that have gone into the guest experience that Disney's put in. Why would I try and reinvent everything? Why don't I learn what they're doing and just take the best of that stuff and try and implement it for myself? So I know that was a long story, and I know that went off on a bit of a rant, but that's a little bit of kind of my story, and what that's led to for us. So basically what that has led to for us at the resort has been sustained growth, has been absolute control of our marketing so that we can control how many bookings we have coming in the door. We actually have a marketing strategy, and that allows us to actually determine how many bookings we're going to be bringing in. And we're always trying to push bookings beyond what we're actually capable of taking so that we continue to increase that demand, allows us to increase prices. That also means that we enjoy some decent profit margins, and that allows us, the family, my mom, dad, myself, to take time away from the business and enjoy life. And I think that's what I'd like for you as a listener of this podcast. And if you're running a marketing team, you're a manager of some kind, well, guess what? In my opinion, the best managers are the ones that don't have to micromanage all the time. The best managers are the ones that actually are good at teaching the team a system that allows growth, and then stepping back and allowing that team to organically find those ideas and let the company grow for itself. You shouldn't be having to micromanage your team. And I don't want to come off as preachy with that, but I've had the experience of running my own business and running teams of up to 50 people and realizing that I actually was inhibiting teams when I was the one that was needing to tell them everything to do. I needed to hire the right people, let them take their own ideas and run with them. And I saw more growth in my business not micromanaging than managing. So I guess what I want to leave you with is, in this podcast, I still fail. I still fail all the time. I want to share the failures with you to try and shortcut your time. And I want to share my wins with you to make sure that you're able to just replicate those things and make them work for you, so that you don't have to go through the same struggles I did. I am essentially producing this podcast because it's something that I desperately wish I had as a resource when I was starting, when I was trying to figure this out. It's taken me so much money, so many years to figure out some of these lessons. And I would just like to pass that information on. So if you're interested in continuing to listen, I know this one's a little bit ranty, but looking for more concrete lessons as we're moving forward, just learning with me along the way, then hit subscribe to this podcast. And every time there's a new episode, I'm going to try and do my best to share with you what I'm learning, how that's applied, kind of the actual practical application of it, and also the evergreen strategies. So when I say evergreen, what I mean is sharing with you what is the psychology that's working here that will always work, because the way it's applied will change. Whether I'm doing this through Instagram, or whether I'm doing it through email, or whether I'm doing it through like Facebook Messenger, or however I'm delivering my message, that medium will change. But the psychological triggers that work, I've spent so many years studying that, and I want to share that information with you so that you're able to know exactly what you need to do to bring bookings in the door. Not even necessarily just for this business, but no matter what you do, having the power of understanding how to turn that switch on and bring those bookings in is invaluable. So I'm going to do my best to share with you. It's going to be a bit of a growing experience for both of us, because I've taught for a number of years marketing. I've never actually done it through a podcast. So you and I are going to do a little bit of learning together. And what I'm going to attempt to do is make sure that my podcasts are significantly shorter than this for the most part moving forward. I might do a few interviews. That's kind of my goal as well, is interview some of the best in the industry and just pick their brains, get deep on, again, where they kind of saw their failures and also where they saw their wins, learning from them. Because, I mean, the famous adage there is success leaves clues. And then just sharing with you any useful information that I've come across along the way. All right. I appreciate it. If you've come this far, congratulations. You're probably in the right place if you've made it this far. I'll try not to be as ranty moving forward, and I really appreciate your time and attention. If you're looking for resources, then they're going to be on tourismmarketingmastery.com. So we're just starting to put that together, but tourismmarketingmastery.com is where we're going to keep all the resources for any show notes from the podcast, also the episodes. These episodes you're going to be able to subscribe to on iTunes, Spotify, and probably a number of Android apps that I'm not even entirely aware of. So you should be able to find this podcast across most platforms. So if you're interested, hit that subscribe button. If you got anything out of this, I'd love you to just leave me a review, because this is kind of the first couple of episodes. Just be nice to know whether you got anything out of this or not. And other than that, I appreciate your time and attention, and I can't wait to see you on here next time. All right. Cheers, guys. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.